Tonight, we're going to start Birkat HaMazon proper, or Birkat HaMazon itself. And as we all know, there are four brachot in Birkat HaMazon. And those brachot, in terms of their origin and things in kind, are discussed in the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, Daf Mem Chet Amid Bet. Now, in that Gemara, it actually appears in the opposite order of how I brought down the Gemara. However, since I've got one or two years of teaching behind me, I thought that the way I reorganized the order of the material that's in the Gemara becomes much clearer for us. And that's why I put what was really second first. So with that in mind, let's take a look. So the Gemara in Brachot says, Tana Rabbanan, our sages taught, Seder Birkat HaMazon Kach Hi. The order of Birkat HaMazon is the following. One, Bracha Rishona, okay, which we call what? Birkat Hazan. Two, Shni'a, the second bracha, which is Birkat Haaretz. Three, Shlishit, Bonei Yerushalayim. And Revi'it, the fourth bracha, is Atov V'Hameitiv. Okay, we're going to be translating all the words a little bit later. Okay, now, let's go to the what I have as the second section of this Gemara. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Moshe tikein liYisrael Birkat Hazan. Bisha'ah sheyarad lahem man. I'm going to go back and explain each one of them. I'm just going to translate it right now. Moshe established the first of the four brachot called Birkat Hazan, the blessing referring to the food, right, at the time that the man descended. Okay. Two, Yehoshua tikein lahem birkat haaretz. Yehoshua established for the Jewish people, right, birkat haaretz, a blessing over the land. Kevan shenichnasu laaretz, when the Jewish people entered the land of Canaan, as it was called in those days. Now, David Ushlomo. Tiknu Bonei Yerushalayim. Now you guys can see why I switched the order. First I introduced you to what the brachot were, and now I'm telling you who did it. Okay? So we'll apologize to the way Chazal actually had it. I think this is a little clearer. So David Ushlomo Tiknu, they established Bonei Yerushalayim. Okay? And in particular, David Tikein A Yisrael Amecha Ve'A Yerushalayim Irecha. And again, we're going to go back and explain all of this carefully in a minute. Okay? And Shlomo HaMelech, his son, Tikein Al HaBayit HaGadol VaKadosh. So obviously that's the easiest one to explain. Why did Shlomo make a bracha regarding that? Because who, after all, built the Beit HaMikdash?
Well, what does this all have to do with food and benching? And
you're going to see. It's all going to connect.
Don't jump the gun.
All right? But that's a good question. Now, last but not least, Hatov V'Hameitiv, right, which is the last of the four brachot, okay, B'Yavna Tiknua, it was established in Yavna. Remember, that was where who was? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Was established in Yavna, Keneged Haruge Beitar, in reference to the ones of Beitar who had been killed during the revolt against the Emperor Hadrian. And I did a little bit of looking up because I don't know much about Roman history. My knowledge of history is at its strongest, really, mid-19th century on. Except, I mean, I know a good deal of Jewish history, but in general history. I don't know anything about Roman history. At any rate, Hadrian was the Roman Empire, Roman Emperor from 117 to 138. When was the fall of Beitar? 135. So this is the Hadrianic Revolt. Who was one of the major players of the Hadrianic Revolt? None other than Bar Kokhba, who carried Bar Kokhba's sword and arrows? Rabbi Akiva, because he thought Bar Kokhba was Mashiach.
Didn't something just happen in Beitar like a few years ago? Why did
Different things. Beitar seems to be a place where a number of different things take place. But whether the Beitar of modern Israel is the same exact place of this ancient time, I'm not capable of accurately sharing with you. I don't know. Okay, so let's go take a look. Moshe tikkun l'Yisrael birkat hazon. Moshe established the bracha over the food. B'sha'ash yarad lahem man, at the time when the man came down. So just imagine. We're dealing with a group of people, as great as they were, the Dor HaMidbar, as great as they were amazing. But remember, when does the man fall? Prior to Matan Torah. So even if you want to say that they were a Dor De'ah, which is the way they're described, and I, by the way, I happen to have two Chavrutot who always are fighting on the side of the Dor HaMidbar, okay, because I tend to be a little hard on them, I guess, I would say. Okay, usually along the lines of, I don't get it. Kriyat Yamsuf, okay, followed by Har Sinai, followed by the Egel HaZahav. Right. I don't get it. So that, yes, exactly. So my Chavrutot always jump to their defense and say, 210 years of slavery does not leave you with they don't quite use this terminology, but doesn't leave you with a strong psychological matrix and well-being. Okay, so you get afraid very easily. But, so let's think about it from that perspective. They were slaves, and terrible, 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 no argument. And however, one thing they always had was food, because slaves have value, and you don't want to starve your slave to death. I remember not that long ago when we were in Charleston, we went to the Charleston Museum. And again, think of the time. You're looking pre-Civil War, okay? African-American strong male slave in that period of time. Listen to how enormous the sum it was. Would sell for as high as $1,500. Now, leaving aside the horrendous aspects of slavery, let's focus on that for a minute. That's like $50,000-$75,000 today. Okay? So nobody's going to starve someone in that situation. So basically, we always precatorily talk about somebody who has the attitude of what? Magiali. Yeah, sure. That's what I'm going to have. So, but basically, if you're in 210 years of slavery and you're just expecting to be fed, all of a sudden you're in the desert and there's no food. It's a very frightening experience. But what happens? Excuse?
They complained about it.
We complained
about everything.
They'll
do.
Okay. Now, I have said on a number of occasions, and I think it's an interesting thought. You don't necessarily have to buy into it, but I've said on a number of occasions, if we were not an Am Kashe Aref, I don't think we'd be sitting here at this table. Okay. Now, we do say, of course, very proudly, Mishum Nashim Tzikaniyot Nigalu Avotenu Mimitzrayim. Okay. And you know, and we put that always into the spiritual, metaphysical terms that, you know, they wanted the Jewish people to continue and all that. But one other thing that we can't forget. If the Jewish women were not stubborn and they didn't say, Lamrot HaKol, we are going to continue, then all the other metaphysical, spiritual ideas wouldn't have had any place to rest. But in other words, first came the idea, nope, we're doing this. We are going to do this. My kids, my kids' kids, ad infinitum, they're going to continue. Okay? So yeah, we complained. Okay? But perhaps it's that willingness to complain and not take it lying down, no matter what it is, why we're here today. So at any rate, you've got Klal Yisrael, and they're miserable. Where's my food going to come from? As I said several times, Jackie Mason's famous line, you know, what does a Jewish person say when they get off an airplane? Where do we eat? Yeah. Right, where's the food? So that's what Klal Yisrael is doing in the desert. Suddenly, man, right? It falls from the sky. Can you imagine something better to say a bracha on? The beneficence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? And we continue with it, Arayam Azeh. That's what Birkat Hazan is. Okay, next. Yehoshua tiken lehem Birkat Haaretz, kevan shenichnasu laaretz. So Yehoshua establishes. You know what this reminded me of? Something in my own life. Okay? I, of course, was born after the creation of the state. I was a little boy in 56. Okay? But in 67, okay, I knew what was going on, or at least like every teenager would think they knew what was going on. But I thought I knew what was going on with Israel. But I do remember hearing, okay, Jerusalem is in our hands. Yes, right? Yerushalayim biyadeinu. And I remember hearing Rav Goren sound the shofar. Mm-hmm. Right? I think some of us may remember that well. Okay? So what better thing is, some of us, I didn't say all of us, said, what better thing is there to say than Birkat Haaretz? Because what did Yehoshua do when he entered Eretz Yisrael? What did he say? He said, Yisrael biyadeinu. So how do you put that into terminology that everyone can benefit from? Yeah, Birkat Haaretz. Okay? I think that makes it very contemporary, or relatively contemporary. Next, David Shlomo Tiknu Bonei Yerushalayim, the third bracha. So, David Tiken Al Yisrael Amecha. Why? What would be a better thing for David to be Metaken? Because he was king. Right? As a former chavruta of mine once said, it's good to be king. Okay? And here you have, he's king over Klal Yisrael. He knows he's king over Klal Yisrael, but who's the king of kings? Melech Malchei Melechim, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Yisrael Amecha, Yisrael, your people. V'ah Yerushalayim Yerecha. Now, why David over Yerushalayim? So I did my homework. Share with you something that's very interesting. There's one part of Yerushalayim, and only one part of Yerushalayim, that was not conquered, but rather was purchased. Anyone want to take a stab as to what that was? Okay. What? No. What? Well, Makom HaMikdash. Makom HaMikdash was purchased from Arnon HaYevusi. Arnon was a Jebusite, as they say in English. And if you want to look it up, because it's a really fascinating story, okay? Tendivrei Hayamim, Divrei Hayamim is in two parts. This is Divrei Hayamim 1, Perek Chafalev, chapter 21. Okay? Now, this is, and it's also rather interesting how that came about. I'll just tell you the story in very, very, very quickly. You all know, I think you've heard this many, many times, we don't count Jews. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Not one, not two.
The worst we'll do is not one, not two, not. Mm-hmm. Okay, and if you can remember, Hoshea Tamecha, right? So you say, Hoshea, because you want to make sure you have a minion. Now, in a place like where we are, it's not a big deal. In Patchogue, or in Holyoke, you know, where I was a rabbi, or in, right? Right? In different places, it's a big deal. So you always have to remember. However, immediately prior to David purchasing the Makom HaMikdash from Arnon HaYavusi, what huge error had he committed? He counted Klal Yisrael. Subsequent to David having, and it's right there, it's in Divrei HaYomim. So don't think that I'm ranking out David, it's right there. So subsequent to that, there was, as you probably would imagine, a big magefa. I believe, this is from memory, 70,000 Jews died. And David said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, why don't you punish me? What are you punishing them for? Okay? So then he decided that he had to do something to do real teshuvah. Because David was the man who taught us teshuvah. Right? Let's not forget about the Bathsheba situation and so on and so forth. David knew when he did something that was not, well, let's put it this way, imperfect. I'm not going to say that he sinned because it's a Beferish Gemara. It says you can never say that. But he knew when he did something that was imperfect. And then he did teshuvah. So he figured he had to do teshuvah for this terrible magefa. So what was he going to do? So instead of conquering the Makom HaMikdash, what did he do? He purchased it. Which is why, when it says here, Vayushalayim Irech, because he could have taken it, right, by, what do they call that, the right of eminent domain. He was, but he didn't want to take it away from anyone and then dedicate it to Kutcher Bricho. He wanted the place where Hashem's Shechina would eventually rest to be without any question, without any doubt. Same as Avram Avinu when he bought Marat HaMachpelah.
Go ahead. Tshuva for counting.
Because it's not a one-to-one correlation. That's what you're asking.
Yes.
I think that's what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Okay, and it's not linear per se, but what basically David wanted to do was, hey, I know it was me. I knew I did something really wrong. I can't erase the past, but I can go forward and make it a better future. That's the best I can do with that one. Okay?
Just by buying it, he could have gotten it probably faster.
He could have stolen it.
He did
L'chadchila, above board, just like Avraham Avinu and Marat HaMachpelah. Nobody, I mean, even the Arabs...
So
don't ever question that Marat HaMachpelah belongs to Jews.
With conquering, there may have been a question.
Yes. Because you know why? You know, you conquer here, somebody else comes in, you know. He didn't want that to be. So that's one of the reasons why once the Beit HaMikdash is actually built, right, the Rambam describes it as a Kedusha Olamit. Right? And the Gemara says it's a Kedusha La'atid Lavo. The Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash can never be erased. Which, by the way, is one of the reasons why you can't go up to, right, the Mount, the Temple Mount. Why, you know, I mean, it's a whole big, obviously, conversation. It really takes some serious research. But to this day, I don't understand how any Jewish person goes to the Temple Mount. I just don't get it. Because you don't know where the Mikdash was. You just don't know. Okay, so and by the way, I believe. Well, I'm going to leave it there because it's safe. That's where I'm at. Go ahead.
Is it against the law in Eretz Yisrael? I mean, is it trespassing to go there
for a Jew?
Obviously,
a Jew is not allowed there.
Good. Okay. Well,
it is.
Is it that you're not allowed to go where the Beit HaMikdash was or where the Kadosh Kadosh was?
No, where the Beit HaMikdash was, because that land retains its kedusha forever. Even though there's no Beit HaMikdash. Even like, you know, the famous...
But people used to go there, so...
Yes.
They still do.
But they would go there only if they were not Tameh. Can't go there with your Tameh. today everybody has tumat tamet. Everybody. Yes?
But now with going with the tunnels and everything underneath,
right.
Is it possible that we're actually going under where it was?
Oh, we are. Not
under
only that.
Is okay,
have you ever taken the
not?
Correct? Have you ever taken the tunnel tour?
Yes, it's amazing.
Okay, so that's one of the.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, right. Why you have to go under it but not over it?
Okay, very good question. Because you're under it, so over you is a binyan. So the tumah that everybody has cannot escape. Cannot go up.
It's like being in an elevator.
Correct.
Could you go in a car? Would that be okay?
You could surely. I mean, it's not big enough.
I know, I'm just...
But yes, you could go in a car. Okay? I don't think I would, go hot-rodding in the tunnels of Jerusalem, but that's what it is. Okay. Now, then it says, Ushlomo tikein habayit hagadol v'akadosh. So why did Shlomo do that? Because he actually built the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, because if you remember that whole story in Shmuel, while David wanted to, Natan gets back to him, right? Natan was a very important figure for David HaMelech, as you know. Okay, Natan nailed him about Bathsheba, and also Natan brought him the story of what? God said that since you have damim ayadecha, right, your blood on your hands, you can't be the one to build a Beit HaMikdash. Okay, so but your son will. All right. Last but not least, this gets really, really interesting. Okay? Hatova Metiv Biyavna Tiknua Keneger Haruge Beitar. Here's the explanation. It's very fascinating and very scary. Dama Rav Matna said, Oto Hayom Shin Yitnu Haruge Beitar Lekavura. On the day that the corpses of Beitar were given to us for burial. Now, was it a day after? Was it 2 days after? No, it was 15 years later. There were at least 100,000 Jewish bodies left unburied in the fields around Beitar. And in the Beitar city itself. Okay? Now, watch what happens. Tiknu biyavna hatova hametiv. He who is good and he who does good. Why? So I guarantee that we don't normally think of it this way. Because what do? If we've ever davened as kids, or we've helped kids daven, what do we say? I'd say, I forget how that goes. Who hate you? Who may to? Who yay to? Right? And we just like, you know, we're all dancing around and it's a big, you know, NCSY thing. But look what it stands for. Hatov shelo hisrichu. The miracle was that the bodies did not rot and decompose. Vahametiv. And how was God good? Shednitnu lekavura. That eventually the bodies were given over to us for kavura.
How many years was it?
15, say Chazal. Nes Gadol. Okay, so now you have some background as a prologue to actually understanding what we're going to learn on the inside now. Yes?
I remember as a kid, and when my kids were younger,
right,
that would be where we stopped. That we didn't do all the harachamans when we were younger in school.
You do not have to do them. Those are, I'm not even sure exactly when the harachamans are from. I will tell you this. I've been so focused on the brachot, I didn't get into the harachamans. Okay? Because what we call Birkat HaMazon is essentially the four brachot. Mm-hmm. Yes?
So why do we... And Bakar HaZana, I understand you're eating or whatever, but why can't the other ones be put into like Shmona Esrei? Because you talk
about...
That's
what I'm trying to figure out.
Because the land produces the food that we're eating,
something like that.
Right?
Because we say hatov hametiv, like when we talk about.
I hear you.
Hametim, and then we talk about the
Well, I guess you'd say this.
I understand the first two.
Okay, Birkat Hazan. Okay, because that's what it says. Kakatuva chalto v'savato v'rachta et adoshim elokecha aretz asher natan lach. Right. So we understand Birkat Hazan. That's clearly, you know, beyond a doubt. Okay. Birkat Haaretz is that, remember, from whence comes all the food.
The land.
So that's not so hard. Bonei Yerushalayim is the spiritual center of the Jewish people. And Ein Kemach, Ein Torah, Ein Torah, Ein Kemach. So therefore, Bnei Yerushalayim can readily understand. Tov HaMeitiv is added much later, okay, only after this great miracle. And since it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beneficence that provides us with the food we eat, this is another clear example, beyond any doubt, of Hashem's beneficence, so it was included.
So Hatov HaMeitiv, and then so Yetiv Lanu, is that supposed to be like when Mashiach comes, that you'll have Triad HaMeitiv?
We're going to see it, but you're right. Yes. Okay? It's like so many things we've discovered on our journey together of understanding, right? Hu Haya, Hu Hovev, Hu Yiyah. Okay? He was great to us. He is great to us. He will, you know, continue to be great, and so forth. You know, it's like there was a popular song, every step you take, every breath, you know, mm-hmm. however that went. I think it was Police or something. I forget mm-hmm. the name of the group. But,
the
huh?
Police.
Yeah. Well, I know a little music. So at any rate, that's the idea, that, you know, we don't want to forget that. And also, when it comes to food, right? First of all, I don't have to tell you how important food is within a Jewish culture. We all know food's important, okay? And if we don't have enough and so forth, or if it's not interesting enough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I don't know about you, when you go to a fruit market and you see 7,050 kinds of apples, that's very, you know, impressive, right? Or there's a kumquat, and there's a kumquat that's small, you know, and on and on and on and on. All these different things. That's fascinating. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so wonderful. So we have to give recognition. Okay? All right. Now, interesting. I find it very, very helpful for setting the stage to look at the number of times words are repeated. So what I was hoping we could do is that rather than my writing it out for you, I specifically did not. So if you want to find a place either in the back or the front to write this out, I'll go very slowly so you can. So Hazan and Mazon are repeated no less than 4 times. Okay? So obviously repetition is always for the purpose of what, everybody? Emphasis. Okay? Tov, all right, in some fashion is repeated 3 times. Ha'olam and Li'olam is repeated 4 times. Just in the first bracha. All this is the first bracha. Kulo, or Kol, right, is repeated 5 times. That's amazing. So the most often repeated of all of it is kol. Kulo. Kulo is just a version of kol. Right? It's the word kol on steroids. Yeah. Okay? And last but not least, the 6th thing is chesed. Chesed is repeated 2. Okay? With that, I think we have a beginning of what were Chazal trying to teach us in Birkat Hazan? Because remember, while Moshe was metaking it, he didn't sit there and say, and here's what the words will be. He just said, you know what, guys? After seeing that man, we have to have a bracha. But it was up to Chazal, the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, years later, to give it a fixed madbeya, a fixed form. And that's what took place. So with that, yes.
I believe it adds up to 26.
Does it add up to 26?
And I believe that's like one of Hashem's names.
What, all of the...
All these, yeah.
Really?
I hope my math is correct.
Well, yeah, it is one of Hashem's names. In fact, one of my former chavruses used to every day give a quarter and a penny in terms of tzedakah. Uh-huh. That's very good. I didn't know. Good for you. Well, you have many moments.
My math is correct.
You have many moments.
With or without a calculator?
Okay. Yeah, well, I think we're all young enough to be able to do something like that without a calculator.
You'd be surprised.
Okay. All right. Let's now go to Birkat HaZon. Okay? So the first part we've done in a variety of ways. Baruch Atah Hashem. Okay? The idea of Rachamim, Elokeinu, the idea of Din, Melech HaOlam, right? The king of the universe. Right? King of the world is simply insufficient, but we're talking about Hashem as the creator and the of the universe and the king of all. And what do we say? Koneh HaKol, right? In the first bracha of the Shemana Esrei. All right, now, what we have here, and I think that some of you already anticipated what I'm about to tell you, by the use of Kol and Kulo five times, the major theme of Birkat HaZon is universal. Hashem is good to the entire world. Hashem's beneficence is to the entire world. Look what he says. And I did break it up into subsections to make it easier. HaZon et ha'olam kulo b'tuvo. That Hashem provides the entire world, okay? Ha'olam kulo b'tuvo, with his goodness. Okay? You know, that's a very powerful idea. It's a very, very powerful idea. So you have really here the opposite of the Aleinu. Aleinu is what? Aleinu first is the idea of specific. Aleinu l'shabeach. It's dealing first and foremost with the Jewish people. But when we get to Al-Kein Nikaveh, that's the ultimate dream that everyone should participate in, the messianic vision. Okay, so first it's the idea of Prati, the Ama Nivchar, the Jewish people in the Aleinu, followed by the universal. We reverse it when it comes to Birkat HaMazon. So we have the idea of universality, HaZon et ha'olam kulo b'tuvo. Next, how does he do it? Now it's very interesting. Chazal chose to use three different terms. Bechein, Bechesed, Uverachamim. So how, in fact, is Hashem good to the entire world? Well, through these kinds of behaviors. Because remember, we usually talk along the lines of the Rambam. We don't say that Hashem is Chein, and Hashem is Chesed, and Hashem is Rachamim. What do we say? Hashem acts with chen. He acts with chesed. He acts with rachamim. So chen is in a favorable way. Hence the name chana. Right? That's where it comes from. What is chesed? So the Rambam explains, and Rav Soloveitchik used this idea on numerous occasions, the Rambam explains that chesed is the overflow of Shefa. It's the overflow of Hashem's divine emanation. So when Hashem is doing chesed, he's acting beyond that which is necessary. So to speak, lifnim mishurat hadin. His kindness overflows. In fact, you've all heard the phrase, human kindness is overflowing. Right, it's a very famous idea. So, not only is human kindness overflowing, but of course, ki olam chasdo, right, uvtuvo hagadol, and so forth. So, Hashem's kindness is overflowing. Okay, now rachamim, I don't ever cease from sharing this because I think it's so powerful, and I'm amazed on occasion how some of my rabbinic friends never actually heard this before, but what is the root word of the word rachamim?
Rechem.
Rechem. What is a rechem?
It's a rechem.
Rechem is a womb. Only women have a womb, and of course, as you all know, that is where the baby is for 9 months, when the mother grows day by day to love it more and more, even before the baby is born. So the rachmanut, the mercy of a mother, is gradations different in kind and degree from that of the father. Why? Because the mother never loses that attachment with the child. Okay? So while the father may very easily be angry as can be, more often than not, who tries to come for the child's rescue? Usually, but not always, the mother. Not always, but quite often. So, go ahead, yes. Well, that's very interesting. We talked about that, I think, last week. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? Because he mitaveh l'tefilot shel avoteinu. Okay, he wanted to hear. He desired strongly. Okay, mitaveh is the word ta'ava. It's not like, you know, would you like your spaghetti with this sauce or that sauce? Well, that would be nice. Okay, this is like ta'ava, which doesn't always have to have a negative connotation, but it means a huge, powerful desire. So Hashem, however we're to understand this, when Chazal say it, that he had this great desire for the holy tefillot of the tzaddikim. Okay, but you raise a good question. All right, next. Hu notein lechem l'chol basar. How universal an idea is this? Now he's not even talking about just people. But when Chazal created this idea, it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides food to everything. To the amoeba, the one-celled animal, all the way up to, I think, what is it, the blue whale, I think is the largest animal on the planet, if I'm not mistaken. Animal. Right, what?
Largest mammal.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's the largest animal. On the planet, right? Yeah. So, in other words, it didn't matter. He provides for everything and every blade of grass and so on and so forth. Now, Kili Alom Chasdo. Okay. Now, it's very interesting. We know that when we have this idea, Kili Alom Chasdo, so that means forever. Okay? But I was thinking as I was really going through this, that you really could give a little bit of a Hasidic taich to Kili Olam Chasdo means what? Not just that Hashem is forever demonstrating his chesed, but what? He demonstrates his chesed to the world. Because Li Olam means to the world, to the universe. Now, I'm not saying that's pshat, so don't try it at home necessarily, but the idea that Li Olam means forever. Now, how do you really know that Li Olam means forever? Because if you just drop down for a minute, okay, to line 4, you have the word tamid, and the last line of words of line 4 are what? Li Olam va'ed. So, I really can't get by on the pshat level that Li Olam means to the world, but it's an interesting taich, so to speak, at least interpretation. All right, next. Uvatuvo hagadol, and with his great beneficence, tamid, forever. Right? Because were HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, to remove himself from the world for even the smallest amount of time, the world would cease. The laws of nature would suddenly fold up on themselves. Right? And everything that we know would cease to be. But thank God, Baruch Hashem, tamid lo chasar lanu. Now, by the way, lanu, the first mention of who?
Bnei
Yisrael. And it's, I call this a stealth reference. Because clearly, what is the most important part of this bracha? The universal. Right? And we're going to see how radically different it is in the second bracha. Because the bracha of Birkat Haaretz is referring to Hashem keeping the promise that he made to Avram Avinu, to Yitzchak Avinu, and to Yaakov Avinu, and to all of Klal Yisrael for all time, that we would get the land. So Birkat Haaretz is clearly for who? Klal Yisrael. But we have a stealth reference to Klal Yisrael right here, right? Lo chasar lanu, that Hashem will never leave us wanting. V'al yechsar lanu, and in the future, do not leave us wanting. Of what? Mazon, of food. Le'olam v'ed, forever and ever. So we're in a sense supplicating. We're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, this magnificent beneficence that you bestow upon us, please Hashem, don't ever cease to do so. Okay, next, an idea that we've gone over many, many times. Bavur Shemo HaGadol, right? We don't know what really Shemo means, even though we use it all the time.
Great name.
Okay? So obviously the translation is because of your great name. Okay? But what do we mean by the essence that remains what? Hidden. Right? I mean, many, many people that we, you know, come in contact with all the time. We think we know, and then we discover afterwards, really? Are you serious? I thought Bill Cosby was a comedian. And so on and so forth. Okay? So, Bavur Shemo HaGadol, because of his essence that is beyond us, which is why it's described as what? HaGadol. Okay? Ki hu keil zan ufrenes lakol. Because he is... Now, keil means what, guys? How do we explain the idea of keil? Long ago, in the first bracha of the Shemana Esrei, it means all-powerful. Right? Okay. Ki hu keil. He's all-powerful. As such, zan umefarnes. He has the ability, okay, to provide food and sustenance, parnasah, the call to every living being. So again, the ultimate in universality. Okay? Umetiv lakol. Now, do you understand why I said the reference to Klal Yisrael was so stealthy? Because we're back once again to kol. Kol, over and over again. Umetiv lakol. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, acts and causes. See, metiv really is from the verbal form lahativ, right, to cause good. Umetiv lakol, he causes good to everything in the universe. How so? Okay, it doesn't, you know, Chazal were very careful. They didn't want this to be too ethereal. Therefore it says, umechin mazon, right? Hashem, so to speak, is the cosmos's chef. Umechin mazon, he produces food for everything. For everybody. Again, not just people, l'chol b'riyota, to all his creations, asher bara, that he created. Fascinating, right? I mean, you really don't focus on this. Like I've said many times, how long should it take you ideally to say Birkat HaMazon? 45 minutes to an hour. Okay? Now, we all know the truth, right? We do say Birkat HaMazon in 45 minutes to an hour if we add up all the Birkat HaMazon that we say over 2 weeks. Okay? So obviously, by the, you know, you're not going to do it. I mean, and we've also heard people all, you know, this always drives me crazy. No, I don't want bread, then I have to bench. Huh? What's wrong with that picture?
It's not in the mirror, but it's not good.
It's you know,
I think okay. It's happening.
Right. Okay. So if you're doing it because Hashem has been menfarnes you overly much, okay? Because I have to be very delicate how I say this. Okay. So okay, that's one thing. But if you say no, I don't want bread because I do. But if you say bread, I don't want bread because I don't want a bench. No. Something wrong with that. But at any rate.
How come some people say here?
You know what? Because what that is, first of all, it's not part of the regular Birkat HaMazon. Oh, I have no idea when that entered, and that's why it's always in parentheses. Which, and what do we? What's the universal rule of Jewish texts when there's parentheses? Leave it out.
Really?
Oh yes.
I always thought just the opposite.
No. Brackets. Right? Yes, you say. Parentheses? No, you don't say.
I always figure more is.
More is better.
Yeah. What's wrong with saying more?
Except
but if you were supposed
bread,
to say it.
Okay. So at any rate, what is the conclusion? Baruch atah Hashem. Okay, so again, we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And notice, by the way, while we started with Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, referencing Midat HaDin as well, how do we conclude Baruch atah Hashem? Because by this point, if you've been paying attention, I don't mean you personally, but if you've been paying attention, you realize, wait a minute, look how kind, beneficent, caring, chen v'chesed v'rachamim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Well, Elokeinu at this point just really doesn't fit. So Baruch Atah Hashem, Hazan et HaKol, He who provides sustenance for the entire world and everything therein. Okay? So, Bli Neder next week, we're going to go on to Birkat HaAretz, which in some ways actually is a recounting of the idea of Yetziat Mitzrayim, and we can even work in without very much difficulty the idea of Kabbalat HaTorah. And we'll see that next week in a shul near you.